So we've had a time of corporate worship today of Jesus in song. And we also worship Jesus during communion as we reminded ourselves of his sacrifice on our behalf. And that someday he's going to return. He is risen. You know, as we partook of communion, the thoughts are going through my mind. Okay, take a look at the cross. You know, he's not there. He is risen. All that he said he would do, he accomplished in that cross. And he is risen, and he is here today amongst us. And we're reminded of worship each and every day, I trust. And I trust that we know that our worship of him is to go far beyond these four walls that we're in today. That worship of him doesn't just happen here. I trust I'm speaking to those who are more mature in the faith. And if you're here and you haven't come to faith in Christ today, I would like to give you opportunity later just to give your life over to him. It is a life that you will never regret giving yourself to him. The one who died for you, the one who has bled as a communion as depicted, broke his body and bled to cover our sins. And I trust that if you're here today that the Lord will speak to your heart as well. And worship may take many forms, but the bottom line of worship is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all your soul, all. This is the first commandment for all who come to faith in Jesus Christ, those who follow him. This is the first commandment. And we cannot go wrong if that is number one on our playlist. Worship him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. So as we think about that, with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all that's in you, is extravagant worship. It is everything. Everything we have, all of us. Not just all of us, but all of me. All of us. I'm all in, Lord. I'm all in. Whatever you want, I want to do it. I remember making that prayer at one time a number of years back, way after I'd come to faith in Christ, but it was a prayer that took me down to Africa. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do it. And he reminded me of that and took me down to Africa. So worship is more than an event. It is an absolute lifestyle. How we live our lives outside of this place, how we live our lives in our home, our family, where we work and all that. When we worship the Lord with all we have, the second commandment comes into focus. You shall love the Lord your God, your neighbor as yourself. So extravagant worship, that giving my all, everything, not just my voice, but everything, giving everything, my extravagant worship gives way to extreme submission to him and his will. As we worship him with everything, our hearts will submit to him and his will. It's a tall order, but Jesus' last words before he ascended into heaven were that he would send the Holy Spirit. You remember the verses, if you've been around for a while, you remember those verses that are recorded in the Bible, talking about him going to be sending it, and then, of course, in the book of Acts, before he was descended, it's spoken about, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That word that was spoken before he ascended into heaven is for us today as well, to his church. The Holy Spirit will be our helper, our comforter, our power to carry out the Lord's will. The day of Pentecost came and made the church what God wanted her to be, a church filled with his power. Not just man's wisdom, man's understanding, but with him, his wisdom, his plans, his power. So the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the daily filling. Boy, when I miss that daily filling, I'm sure you can agree with me, but when I miss that daily filling, I don't know what you're like. If you're like me, I really mess up. I really do. I miss opportunities to share his love with someone. I mess up in my life. That daily filling of the Spirit is the dynamite that blasts us out of where we are today. And it blasts us out of that just being content to come to church on Sunday morning, but to be the church on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. And please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that being blessed in church is wrong. What I am saying is that the Holy Spirit is the power that grounds us in the love of God and the love of others. The love that gives everything back to him is by fulfilling his will for our life. A love that gives everything back to him. You are filled for a purpose. You are filled for his purpose. The Holy Spirit fills us for God's purpose. For those of you that were here last Sunday night, I'm not holding this well, I guess. It's okay. I'll get used to it. You know, for those of you who were here last Sunday evening, that purpose was spoken loud and clear. There were some words spoken here, and one very long word, and I'll condense it down just to a few words. On fire to reach the lost. On fire to reach the lost. That's what God wants to do. He wants to fill you with his Spirit to light you on fire so you can reach the lost. You know, I served 7 years and 1 month in the RCN, and on the day I signed up on the dotted line, I was saying that I was ready, willing, and able to do whatever task the Navy would train me to do. I signed my life away. Sometimes I look back at that, and I kind of regretted it at the moment, but I look back now in life down much further down the road, and I see there was some good stuff that happened in that training in there. The Holy Spirit is God's signature upon us that is always ready, is always willing, and able to do through us all that God asks us to do. The Holy Spirit is ready, willing, and able all the time. All the time. So we need to be continually filled with the Spirit. And we'd ask that question, why? Well, a simple answer is this: it's a lot easier loving God than it is loving others. It is a lot easier loving God than it is loving others. You know, I don't know how many Christians I came in contact with, but I was unlovely. But they loved me. They talked to me. They shared things with me. So it is to be filled with the Spirit, because loving God is easier than loving others. John chapter 7. I think we have this on up here somewhere. Familiar pieces of scripture. I've only got, I think, three or four references, but this is one of them right here. On the last day of the feast, you remember some of the story if you read the Bible. Chapter 4 talks about the living water that Jesus would give, and he was speaking to a Samaritan woman. And then on this day of this feast, sometime down the road, he says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. Jesus is speaking of the day of Pentecost that had not come, and all those that would drink of the living waters of salvation would be filled with the Spirit to the overflow. Overflow. If I'm not filled daily with the Spirit, I minister from not the overflow, I minister from my batteries. Can I say that? The well kind of goes down. I get worn out. I get angry when people step on my toes. When I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm ministering out of the overflow of the Spirit. You know, can we live our lives, speaking to us as believers in Jesus, can we live our lives believing the truth that the Holy Spirit is ready, willing, and able to flow out of our innermost being to meet the needs of others? Can we live our lives believing that truth? To believe it. To wake up in the morning and say, God, use me to touch someone today. Fill me with your Spirit so I may overflow into the community, overflow into my family, overflow into my workplace. So if that is settled in your heart and mind, if you understand that and you're saying, yes, that I need that, I know I need it, I do it, but I need it. If that's settled in your heart and mind, let's shift into second gear. And thank you for listening to the introduction. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, as you come to Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. In verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. May God's word just open up in our hearts and minds. And as we look at this, let's just put these verses in simple terms without going into any lengthy teaching. I know I'm preaching probably mostly to the converted, but let's just not go into any lengthy teaching around it. Go home and dig into it deeper as you get home. Jesus Christ, the living stone, has invited us to become living stones in his church building program. He wants us, and that's when we come to faith in him, he takes another living stone, a lively stone, I think the King James Version says, and places it in his building where he wills, where he wants you. You have been placed here today by God. Maybe you're a visitor here, but today you've been placed into this little group, this building, this church, little church building that Jesus is putting together, and he's put you together with other lively stones, living stones. When we accepted God's free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, we became available to Jesus and to each other so that he can use our lives to build the kingdom of God. So what are our spiritual sacrifices that become acceptable to God? Well, the Old Testament, this is just a quick overview here. The Old Testament speaks of spiritual sacrifices of prayer, thanksgiving, praise, and repentance. In the New Testament, as living stones full of the Holy Spirit, we can add to the list the offering of our bodies to God for his service. Romans 12:1, this isn't on the screen here, but present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. And also, as we even did a declaration today, we can offer our finances, our God-given gifts and talents to him, as well as our time. We offer all that we have. Now, Barry's got a shirt on, called to duty. Stand up, Barry, just spin around there. Called to duty, ultimate sacrifice. Called to duty, the ultimate sacrifice. I like that. Amen. Called to duty. Yes, sir. I'm ready to go. Absolutely. As Christ's church, we function as a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. In Old Testament days, the 12 tribes of Israel each had duties when it came to the service around the tent in the wilderness and later in the temple at Jerusalem. The tribe of Levi were appointed by God. You know, you've read all between the lines here. I'm sure you've read and understand all the temple, but an overview. The tribe of Levi appointed by God and set apart for priestly duties, and only the high priest could enter the presence of God behind the veil. And Jesus, by way of the cross, has opened the way for all of his followers to become priests of God. You, if you've called on his name, are a priest of God. Made holy not by washings and preparations, but made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no more veil. The barriers of the Holy of Holies has been removed. We have complete access to God. We can serve God personally. We can serve God together. We're able to minister to others. And because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have something to give, because he's filled us with power. His power. And here's the truth of the matter. We are both the temple and the priests of the temple. 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And just leave verse 9 up there for me, please, Angela. A royal priesthood to proclaim the praises of him. You know, the Greek says exangelo. That's a Greek term for it. To tell out. To tell out. Proclaim abroad. Proclaim everywhere. Proclaim abroad. Advertise completely. When I'm not filled with the Spirit, I don't advertise God very well. But if I'm filled with his Spirit and his Spirit is moving through me, because I'm filled and I'm preaching and teaching and ministering and touching others, that overflow of the Spirit is what comes out. Advertise completely God's message of forgiveness and salvation to all who would call on his name, and to live out our lives that show his character to those we encounter. Proclaim. Proclaim with your life. Proclaim with your mouth. Proclaim with everything you have. And allow that Holy Spirit the opportunity to proclaim through you. Our priestly duties of service can be exercised within the church, but also out in the community from which Jesus wants to have what? More living stones to add to his church. More living stones filled with his Spirit. More living stones to proclaim his excellencies, to proclaim him. And how does he do that? He does it through the church. The living stones of his church go out and attract, speak to others who will potentially be living stones building up his church. Jesus was chosen by God to be the living stone that the church will be built upon. You have been chosen by God to be living stones in that church, a holy and royal priesthood with the awesome privilege. It's an awesome privilege we have to carry out God's priestly duties. Think about that. Carrying out God's priestly duties where we go, where we walk, where we sit, where we coffee. Carrying out his priestly duties. Our credential to do so are to accept God's invitation for salvation through the blood of Jesus shed upon the cross. If you're here today and you have not come to that place of accepting that, when you accept that, your sins are forgiven. You are placed as a living stone in his church, and then God wants to fill you with his Spirit to use you. So our credentials are to accept the invitation for salvation through the blood of Jesus and to ask for and receive his power through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you ever want to read an older book on that, I spent part of my summer reading through an old text on a book by Andrew Murray, 1800s, late 1800s. And he basically says it's the one necessary thing for the church. The one thing that's necessary. You've come to salvation, the necessary thing is to be filled, to be baptized in his Holy Spirit. It's necessary. It's absolutely necessary. So a couple weeks ago, just to kind of put some flesh on this, a couple weeks ago, I went fishing with three guys on the Puntledge River up in Courtney. Now, they're outside of Christ, but they don't mind hanging around with this crazy Jesus-following guy. They don't mind hanging around with me. Two of them I just met just in the last months, and actually one of them I just met, this is the second time I'd even been with him. And anyhow, I'm fishing with them up on the Puntledge River in Courtney, fly fishing on the river. And while I'm, you know, I forget what time we got there. Got there in the morning, and we left at dark. So you're on the river for a long time. And as I was fishing in this one spot and, you know, catching fish and letting them go and all that kind of stuff, but the two younger gals came down, and they sat on a log behind me. I guess they were walking along the trail by the river. They sat down on a log behind me. And I just kept fishing away. I heard somebody back there, and I saw them, and I just kept fishing. And so after my final cast, I wound in my line and my reel, as I walked out of the river, I said jokingly to them, I said, "Ladies, how can someone stand on the river all day casting and winding in? Casting and winding in all day long. How can someone do that?" And I said, "Because he's a man." That's all I said, "because he's a man." One of the gals says, "I know you." I'm looking at her, I don't know her, really. "Where are you from?" I said, "Well, I'm Nanaimo." "What's your first name?" "Dan." "What's your last name?" "Adam." "Pastor Dan!" This young gal jumps up, she just yells it out, screams, comes running down across the gravel. I thought she was going to fall in. Comes and runs towards me and hugs me so hard I thought I was going to actually be smothered. I'm like standing there like dumbfounded. "Who are you? Who are you?" Well, anyhow, I knew her. And, you know, her mother attended our church. Her mother had come out of very, very active addiction. I forget how old she was when she came through the church. I'm going to say 7, maybe 8 years old. And, she'd never really had, I'd seen her a while back, 4 years, 5 years ago, but just briefly. And she wasn't doing well, of course. You know, she never had anyone stable in her life, family-wise. There was no one stable in her life. And she was like a granddaughter to Ruth and I. You know, we just loved on her as we would any one of our grandkids, or any other kid for that matter. We just love kids and love on them with Jesus' love. And so, as we made that little connection and kind of pleasantries and blah, 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 she just started laying out some of her story to me right there, right beside the river. She started laying out some of the story with her and with me, and I was able to encourage her while the Holy Spirit just loved on her. I just felt the presence of God. And it wasn't what I was saying. It wasn't what I was doing. It just felt the love of God there and just the Holy Spirit just loving on her. And to make a long story short, it was getting dark, so her and her friend walked along the trail with us on the way out. It was a bit of a hike out the side of the river up to the road. And all the while, she's raving about how her life has turned around from being on drugs and actually at death's door. She says, you know, about 3 months, 4 months ago, I was absolutely on death's door. I was not going to survive. That's where she'd got to in her life. And how her life had turned around because she rededicated herself just recently to the Lord. And so, you know, you got to picture that. Here's three guys that don't know the Lord. One of them I've witnessed to for quite a number of years, but don't really know the Lord, haven't come to faith in the Lord. I have no idea where the other two guys are in faith because I just met them. And they're walking. One of the fellows is, I'm walking right behind him, and she's right beside me, and she's just out loud, just, God did this, and I'm really, oh, and things are changing around, and she's just blatting out everything that God is doing in her life. And, you know, and so we walked along that trail, and so you can imagine the conversation in the car back to Nanaimo with these three guys. What the heck? You're standing on the river and this strange girl comes and runs out and hugs you and all this. And you know, so I was able to lay out some of the story. Some of the backstory about how God had intervened in that family. How God had touched them. And, you know, just, well, Lord, you know what the conversation was in the car and you can make that real to their hearts. You know, subsequently, I've been able to answer many questions via text and helped her get plugged into a Christian recovery program up there in Courtney. That's just a short story. So I guess the point of today is this. What happened that day was none other than a divine appointment of God. God can put that kind of stuff together every day, all day. He can put that together. A divine appointment set up by the Father. You know, a temple was built by a river. An altar was erected right there. There was such a connection. And there was such a presence. I'm not standing there going, oh my God, this God's presence is so what? No, God's presence was just there, just going out to this gal and touching her heart, and she's exclaiming what God is doing and what he can do, and it's so wonderful that we've connected again, all that kind of stuff. But a temple was built by the river and an altar was erected right there in the wilderness.
Praise God.
No special robes, no multiple washings. It was simply a place to deliver priestly duties. And those priestly duties can be given out through you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're filled with his Spirit, you can administer priestly duties, as it says here. So I guess, because our time is a little short, I better close this up pretty quick here. But where are you in that? Again, I said earlier that it's pretty easy to love God, because if you're like me, when I was called out of darkness into his light, I was one of these people that was called out of darkness into his marvelous light. I lived a very dark life. Only one person in this building, it's my wife, knows how dark that life had been. But he called me out of that. He set me free from my sins. He washed me clean. That's all the washings took care of right there. I was washed, and then shortly after, I was filled with his Spirit so that I could what? Proclaim the praises of him, to administer priestly duties to those I come in contact with. And when I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm like you. There are times you're not. There's times I'm not. And we say things, do things that are not proclaiming Him in the right way. But when I'm filled with the Spirit, He uses me. And I'm not a special person up here. I'm just Dan Adam, saved by the blood of the Lamb, and filled with His Spirit to be used in His hands to minister to others. Thank you. So let's just have a word of prayer. Maybe we can stand. So just as we go into prayer, just two things. Again, if you're here and you do not know Christ, you have an opportunity here. Maybe the Lord has been just kind of tapping your heart, if that's you. Been tapping your heart and going, you know what, this is your day. Well, we just give that to Him and say, you know what, Lord, I want to give my life to You. And you know, if that's you, and you want someone to pray in agreement with you and that, you just come up front here after we pray, and we'll definitely spend some time with you. You know, maybe this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing's been a big question, and you've had lots of questions around it. It's just opening yourself to Him and saying, God, Your Word says that this will happen. It's believing Him. It's not doing any, you know, well, get somebody to hold on to your chin and start making your mouth move. It's just opening up to the Spirit and saying, God, You filled Your church back there in the day of Pentecost, and You continue to fill Your church to this day. Lord, fill me. Fill me. That's all. Just pray. Ask God. Fill me. It may happen right boom, but continue to seek Him in that, to be filled with His Spirit. And maybe this priestly duty thing is, yeah, we know it. We understand it. We've read it. But maybe we really have a tough time in talking to others. That's the Holy Spirit that'll do that through you. It's just giving yourself to the Spirit and saying, Lord, I get up this day, I put my feet on the ground here on the floor. Lord, fill me for Your purpose today. Fill me, bring people into my life. Put me in those places where I can minister for You, Lord. And I ask it in Your name that's above all names. God will use you. God will fill you for that day. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to You in that matchless name of Jesus Christ, the One who saves and sets free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I thank You, Lord, that my darkness, I was called out of it into Your marvelous light. And Lord, You washed all that darkness away. You took care of all the grief. You took care of all the guilt. You took care of all the shame. God, You did it. You washed me in Your blood, and I am so thankful that that happened. And Lord, You marvelously filled me with Your Spirit. And Lord, it's our prayer today that if there's someone here, Lord, that hasn't come to that place of washing, being washed by You, that God, they do it today. And Lord, if there's someone here that hasn't been filled with Your Spirit, that God, they'll be filled today. They'll just reach out to You. They'll take You at Your word and believe that You will do it, Lord. Lord, we know that the words that are spoken today are meaningless unless the Holy Spirit makes them real in our heart. It is our desire, Holy Spirit, that You do Your work in us. Three scriptures, three just little scriptures. God, fill them all in. Lord, put a hunger in us to dig deeper into Your word through prayer, through fasting. Lord, just through seeking You opening your word and allowing it to touch us and change us and transform us. Holy Spirit, it is our desire to go deeper in you, the word of God. So please, we'll open it up to us. As living stones in the church, in our community here, Father, we ask that, Lord, that fill us, that we can display the love of the Father to all those we meet. Lord, enable each one of us to move more purposefully in following you and fulfilling your will for our lives, seeking you, being filled, and moving more purposefully into our community, in our home, in our workplaces, in our play places. God, use us to administer your priestly duties to those we meet. And we pray this in your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer, I'll ask Pastor Chris, you can take over here. If you need prayer, just come up. Allow the Spirit just to work in your heart. Amen.